chapter 50 contains the third portion having to do with the servant of the Lord. In weeks past, I showed you that this servant, in particular, is the Lord Jesus Christ. I showed you the New Testament references where it spoke of him. And in chapter 50, as we read it, it will be unnecessary to show you passages. You will know by the wording of this chapter that it speaks of him. Isaiah 50. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, wherewith I put you away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities were you sold, and for your transgressions was your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish sink because there is no water, and die for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away backward. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face in shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore have I not been confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Behold, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? He that walketh in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that gird yourselves round about with firebrands, walk ye in the flame of your fire, and among the brands that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of my hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that it has pleased thee that thy Son should have the preeminence. Wherever we turn in thy word, he is beyond compare. And we are thankful that, again, we have read of him. We could wish that we had heard him open the scriptures and speak the things concerning himself. But, though we have not him, we have another comforter, and he guides us into all truth. Thou dost know that our hearts have cried out, this is thy Son in whom thou art well pleased. And so by that Spirit, show thy Son to us. He is lovely. Let us see him in his beauty. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. As I speak to you, at first, there are so many things that most Christians do not know, that all is hazy and you feel overwhelmed. But you remember a little the next week And then you hear some things that were spoken the previous week, and you say, yes, I understand a little bit more, and the third week, a little bit more, and after so long, you will be interrupting me and telling me how to interpret these passages of Scripture. But remember, at first it seems like so much you cannot grasp it, but as you learn more and more, you say, yes, the picture is beginning to develop before my eyes. And in the past, this is how the Savior has been presented to us. He has been presented by the Father. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delighted. The Father speaks of the Son. And then the Father speaks to his Son, the servant. And last week in chapter 49, we had the Son himself speaking. And this week, again, beginning in verse 4, the Son, the servant himself, speaks. And as you learn these things, you say, yes, this is the Father speaking of his servant. And then, this is the servant himself speaking. And you see the interchange of dialogue, and the passages begin to open up. And so, last week, if you recall, the Lord Jesus had said previously, I have spent my strength for naught. There was a note of discouragement, though he was never discouraged. And while the Lord Jesus felt a certain way, Zion also said this. Zion, now this is the geographical location God spoke of old, of a place where he would choose for his name to dwell, and that was Zion. And therefore, let me tell you this at first so you can understand. It speaks of a city of geographical location. And that location is spoken of as the mother of its inhabitants. And so, in verse 14 of 49, it says, But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me. Here is the land that is then abandoned to its enemies. But now, in chapter 50, verse 1, it is not Zion that is addressed, but it is the children of Zion, the inhabitants. And this is what the Lord says in Isaiah 51. Thus saith the Lord, Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? The mother of Israel, just as our mother, Jerusalem, which is above, there was the earthly Jerusalem, the earthly Zion, and that is spoken of as the mother of Israel. And so the Lord says this, Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement wherewith I have put her away? Some of them would say, God has done all of this. God put us away. God says, show me the bill of divorcement. It was demanded in Deuteronomy chapter 24 that when a woman was put away, she must be given a bill of divorcement. And God says, you say that I put you away? Produce that bill of divorcement. And they were unable to produce that bill of divorcement because here, now elsewhere, we speak not of, but here, God says, I have not put her away. I have not given a bill of divorcement. He says this, Tell me, to which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? And they are not able to point out one. And so God says, It is not I who is responsible for this, or who is responsible for this calamity. But this is what he says. He says, Behold, For your iniquities were ye sold, and for your transgressions was your mother put away. Now they are sold, and she's put away, but God says, it is not my doing. And so I checked out this, and you will find again and again, concerning an individual and concerning the nation, it speaks of Ahab, who sold himself to do evil. And then it says concerning all Israel, They sold themselves to do evil. And so there are times when God may be responsible for this because we shan't speak of the passage in Jeremiah. I'm speaking of Isaiah 50. But here God says, It is not I who has done it. You are they who have sold yourselves to your creditors, and you are they who have caused the putting away. And this is what he said. All right, now, to understand the passage, understand their condition. They are sold, they are put away. And in this condition, it says in verse 2, when they're in this condition, God says, wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? God said, so little am I responsible for your being sold and put away. I have come to rescue you from these calamities. He said, but when I came, when you were in this pitiable condition, why was there no man to respond? When I called, why was there no one who answered? And then he goes on this way in verse 2, or verse 3. He says, behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. He says, my hand is not shortened that it cannot redeem. And therefore, even though Israel is in this condition, God speaks of his willingness to restore them from this condition, of his power to restore them from this condition. But he said, when I came, there was no man. And when I called, there was none who answered. And so that is the setting. And then suddenly, there burst in upon us this soliloquy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of them that are called. What does this mean? It means that though God, at certain times, as it says in the scriptures, God sent his prophets rising up early. He sent them crying to Israel to repent, to turn again to God. And so when God says, I came, he could be speaking of coming in prophets like Isaiah and Amos and any prophet that you might name. When God sends his prophets, it is God who comes. And he said, when I came, there was no man. But what happens is this. You see that you have something that happened once in the Old Testament, and then it happened at a later time. For instance, in 721, Shalmaneser was he who came and took the northern kingdom captive, and then in 586, it was Nebuchadnezzar that came and took the southern kingdom captive. It speaks of all of these captivities, the calamities of Israel, and then it speaks of God coming to rescue them. But what happens is this. These are like unto other cycles of history, as the Savior himself said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And one period of history is like a coming period of history, is like a yet coming period of history. And for that reason, whereas God in the past has sent his prophets to speak to Israel and bring them back, God in these last days has spoken unto us in his Son. And in the parables, in the Synoptic Gospels, you find that God sent his Son. You will read about him sending one servant after another, and they shamefully handle them, and they beat some, and cast out some. And it says, finally, God had one, a beloved son. He said, I will send him. It may be that they will reverence him. And then he sent his son. But the same experience that they had in days of old is the same experience that the Lord Jesus himself had when he came upon the scene. And for that reason, when God says, when I came, was there no man? And then you can see this in the time of the northern kingdom's fall and the southern kingdom's fall. And then you can look at it and see it in the time when the Lord Jesus came upon the scene. And it was just a coincidence, you might say, that this morning the Savior came to Israel and he said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. If the Son shall make you free. And they said, we've never been in bondage to any man. Look, you see, the Lord comes, and there is no man. He calls, and no one answers. The Lord Jesus is calling, is appealing to them, and they draw themselves up with indignation and say, we've never been in bondage to any man. And so the same experience that the prophets of old had, the Lord Jesus himself had. We be Abraham's seed. And so the question is asked, why is it that when I came, there was no man? When I called, there was none to answer? And it's summed up this way. Quoting from a later passage in Isaiah, it says, though he had done so many signs before them, yet they believed not. It says in John 3, that which we have seen and heard, of that we bear witness, and no man receiveth our witness. It says, he that doth receive our witness hath set his seal to this, that God is true. But as a whole, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. God says, when I came, why was there no man? When I called, why was there no response? And so if you desire, you can find the ideal in the person of Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, coming and making these appeals to the nation. And now, starting in verse 4, this thing of the past is repeated again in the person of the Son. And this is what the Savior said. You remember? I told you that at times, God himself speaks about the servant. At times, God speaks to the servant. But as in chapter 49, he says, listen, O isles, unto me. And he describes himself. Now, in chapter 50, verse 4, he says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learning. Here is the servant speaking again. And it is a passage of great value for this reason. In the Gospels, you find the historical facts concerning the life of Christ. But in the Psalms and in certain prophecies like these, you find the inward, hidden, secret working of God in the heart of the Savior. You would think that in the fullness of time you would see them in the Gospels, but not there. But you find them prophetically spoken of, and the Lord Jesus himself is telling us how he functioned when he was on the earth. That's most important. I've been telling people for years what the Lord Jesus is telling you here, but they will never believe it. Inasmuch as he was God, they think that he drew upon his deity to perform his miracles, to know things, but he tells us here how he functions. Now listen again. How is this one, God's servant, how is he going to function? Listen. He says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He's not drawing upon his own deity, though he could have. He says, the Lord God gave me the tongue. He taught me how. Why is it that when Christ himself has said it, when in the Gospels he said, if I by the Spirit of God cast out demons, it says the Spirit led him into the wilderness. The power of God was with him to heal. It said he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God, through his servant Jesus, has done this and that. How many times and how clear does God have to make it how his Son functioned when he was on the earth? Now, he has told us this, and if the Jews only knew, the Lord Jesus could say, have you never read? As he said on one occasion, go learn what this scripture meaneth. And so, when he came into his own country, and he was preaching, they listened to him, and they marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And it says they were astonished, and they said, where did this man get this wisdom? Now, listen. He said, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know. He told them in the prophecy of Isaiah, where did I get this learning? I got it from the Lord God. He gave me this tongue. You are wondering where I got it. No, I did not sit at the feet of Gamaliel. I did not go to any of the schools of the rabbis. The Lord God hath given it to me. And had they read this prophecy, they would have known. They would not have been in doubt. And so the Savior himself tells where he got it. Now listen to this. He says that the Lord God has done this and that, that he may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learning. The Lord Jesus is telling you that even though he was God, he did not have that deity fused into his humanity, and he knew everything at one time to end from the beginning. He is telling you that every morning God waked him. Wake, son. Wake. I have this to teach you. I have this to tell you. Can you not see that? Why do people rebel against it? And why do they want Christ to know everything? I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, even though he's God, must he know everything when he tells you that the beauty of his humanity is that he was privileged to have his ear wakened morning by morning, and God taught him morning by morning. And you find it so beautifully illustrated in the Gospel of Mark. It says that he arose a great while before the day and went out into the desert and prayed. You see, he's communing with his father. His father had said, son, it's time to get up. And his son would rise and go alone. We enter into our closet. The Lord Jesus would get away from the crowd where he could have quietness with God. And in that quietness, God would speak in his ear what he was to do. What would he do? He would give him the tongue of the learned, that he would know how to speak a word in season to him that's weary. And the Savior himself has told you how he did it, that God waked him morning by morning. It was a progressive thing. It was a consistent thing. And the Lord Jesus was told day by day, not one end to the other, but day by day. And he progressively learned. And this is what Luke tells us in 2:52. Jesus advanced, increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Why? Because the Lord was waking him up morning by morning. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. And he tells us that there was this progress, that there was this growth, and that God spoke to him every morning. And so if you want to reject that, you may. But the Lord has told you in the New Testament, and now he is giving you his inner secret as to how he had these words. He never went to school, but he's telling you how he learned. God wakened him morning by morning. God taught him. He gave him an education. This is the word disciple. It's translated disciple elsewhere. Just as the Lord Jesus trained the 12, the Father trained the Son. And as they are disciples, so he is a disciple, a learner. And God is his teacher. And he tells that it happened every morning, and God would wake him up. This is the beauty of it. Keep that in mind, and it says this. God hath given him the tongue of the learned. If you can remember what I've been teaching you in past weeks, you will see how God did this and that to the Savior. Now, last week I told you that God made the Lord Jesus. You may look at it if you wish. Look in chapter 49, and it says in verse 2, it says, the Lord hath made mention of my name from the bowels of my mother. And in verse 2, he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me. And he said unto me, and so forth. He made me like a polished arrow. And so in this chapter 49, his mouth is like a sharp sword to cut. He's like an arrow to shoot at a distance and penetrate the heart of the enemy. This is how he is in chapter 49 to deal with enemies. But in chapter 50, it is not enemies. But here is Israel in this pitiable condition, one of captivity, one of bondage, one of being sold, one of being put away. And God the Father is training his son, teaching him, giving him words to come and speak. And listen, it is not now the Lord Jesus as one whose mouth is as a sharp sword, but he says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. You see the beauty of that? The same thing happened in chapter 42. It says, a bruised reed will he not break, a smoking flax will he not quench. He is seen in chapter 42 as he's seen in chapter 50. He is coming to deal with those that are going to respond. And the Savior tells us that his equipment for this. Why is he able to speak to that woman in John chapter 4, that woman at the well of Samaria? Because God gave him the tongue of the learned. He gave him words to speak to the one who was weary. Here is this woman weary with life, one marriage after another, one after another, and now her life is empty and dry as the desert. The Lord Jesus said, I have water that you know not of. He had food himself that they knew not of, and he had water that this woman knew not of. He said, become in her a well of water springing up into life eternal. And the Father had told him that morning, there is a woman that's going to meet you, and these are the words that you're to speak to that woman. You say, that reminds me of what the Spirit said to Peter in Acts chapter 10. He said, people are coming to speak to you, go. And not only that, but in chapter 8, the Spirit of God said to Philip, you go join yourself to this man. In this sense, the Lord Jesus is spoken to by the Father, and he has given words that he is to speak day by day. This is the inner working, how Christ, our Savior himself, tells us that he was trained, and this is where he got his wisdom. Where did he get these words? The Lord Jesus said, the Lord God gave me these words. He is the one who taught me. He's given me the tongue of them that are learned. And he tells us, and I wish I could tell you exactly the translation, but no one can. In the 1901, it is that I may sustain with words him that is weary. In your King James, it is that I may speak a word in season to him that is weary. But the word ooth, which is the word in the Hebrew, it only occurs once. How can you tell what a word means when it only occurs once in the Bible? But it seems as if the root significance of the word is to hasten. And so here is a person that is weary, and the Lord Jesus hastens to that person. And it says that God has given him the tongue. And so since God's given him a tongue, and you speak with a tongue, then he hastens to this person to assist him with words. And so the conjecture is beautiful. To sustain with words, to speak a word in season, both of those thoughts are allowable. And so Christ comes with a tongue that is taught of God. He has words, and with those words, he sustains him who is weary. He speaks a word in season to him that is weary. And so, even though we may not know exactly what the word ooth means, we see from the context that the translations that we have, both of them are acceptable. Because Christ is coming, and with the tongue, he is speaking words to the weary. He's not coming with his mouth as a sharp sword, as a polished arrow, but he's coming in tenderness, with divine words, to take that bruised reed now. Notice. It simply puts it this way. A bruised reed will he not break. A smoking flax will he not quench. It does not tell us the other side. Well then, what shall he do to that bruised reed, to that smoking flax? But here, it tells us he is going to sustain. He is going to speak a word in season to the one that is weary. And so God has told us what life is for sinners. It is like a reed that is bruised. It is like a smoking, noxious, flax that is an irritant to the nostrils. It is like a person that is sold into captivity. It is like one that is put away. It is like a person that is in a dungeon and in darkness. And the Lord Jesus is sent to such as they. And he had just the words that they needed. That is why we have to preach Christ. Because the world with all of its philosophy, it has nothing. But the Lord Jesus has everything because his words are God's words. And so when you listen to the Lord Jesus, then you remember that he said this. He said, the words that I speak unto you are not my words, but I'm speaking to you the words that my Father taught me. Now, this is just what he says here. The Lord God hath given me the tongue. And he said, my words are not mine, but his who sent me. The same thing that he said here in prophecy, he said in the Gospel of John, actually and historically. And so the words Christ spoke were God's words, and they were words that God had taught him. He wakened his ear morning by morning. This is the beauty of it. And so this is how he learned. This is the way he was prepared. This was his ministry. Not a ministry of judgment, but a ministry of restoration. to those who would. But as a whole, he came to Israel in this condition, and there was no man. He called, and no one responded. He would find a few, but think, at the end of his life, a handful, and I was just reading, at first, they all forsook him and fled, and then John and Peter followed him, but at first they all forsook him and fled. And then, just before the day of Pentecost, a little over 100 altogether. And so here is the Lord Jesus. He came and no man caught him. You see, no man responded. That is relatively speaking. A few did. And so here he is. He tells us, though, that God sent him to function in this capacity among the Israelites. God sent Isaiah. God sent Jonah. God sent Amos. And they had similar experiences. And then he sent his son, and his son had the same experience. But now, it says in verse 5, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious. Here, he wakened his ear, and the Lord Jesus did not refuse his instruction. So often, there are Christians who want part of the Word of God. It was so in John chapter 6. The Savior had many disciples at the beginning of chapter 6, but he taught them more and more. He wakened their ears, but as their ears heard, their ears rebelled. They said, this is a hard thing. And at the end of John 6, it said, from that hour, many of his disciples turned back and followed him no more. There was no instruction the Lord Jesus ever received from the Father when the Father wakened his ear that he refused as to instruction. But now, as to commands, look at verse 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious. Just to help you understand, it says in chapter 35, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. But this is the identical word in the Hebrew. Here is a deaf ear, a literally deaf man, and his ear is unstopped, it's open. And it says in verse 5, the Lord God hath opened my ear. And so the Lord did not have a deaf ear when God spoke his commandments, and that they were difficult things to do. As he put it this way, the cup which my Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it? He says, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away backwards. And so, what did God tell him in that ear, once his ear was opened? Something that would turn a man backwards. Something that even the Lord Jesus had to pray to his Father about. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. As he said in John chapter 12, the hour is come. Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. And so the Lord God opened his ear. And though the Lord Jesus prayed to his Father about this, he was never rebellious. And finally, when men would save him from what God spoke in that opened ear, he said, put the sword into its sheath. The cup which my Father has given me to drink, shall I not drink it? And so here the Savior is telling about his obedience to the will of God. God opened his ear and said, I want you to be obedient unto death, the death of the cross. And the Lord Jesus said, yes, Father, yes. And this is what happened. He said in verse 6, I gave my back to the smiting. Notice, the Lord God gave him the tongue of the learned. And so everything that God gave to him, it was for the benefit of man. And now the Lord Jesus presents himself to his people, and they take that body that was formed of God, and they smite it, and they take those cheeks, and they pluck off the hairs. But the Savior is telling us here what he told us in John chapter 10. He said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. He said, no man takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And so in verse 6, he said, I gave my back to the smiting. When Pilate was saying, do you not know that I have power to crucify thee and release thee? The Lord Jesus said you would have no power at all against me except you were given me from above. And the Lord Jesus said, I gave my back to the smiting, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hairs, as if those enemies who came and arrested him and pummeled him and insulted him, as if they had it in their power. Why, when they came to him at first, he only had to say the words, ego eimi, and they went back and fell to the ground. The Lord Jesus said, come, I am the one that you want. He is the one who gave his back to the smiters and his cheeks to them that plucked off the hairs. He hid not his face from shame and bitterness. And so this is what the Father spoke in the ear of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus said, yes. And in verse 7, for the Lord God will help me. Verse 9, behold, the Lord God will help me. In chapter 49, it says, in the day of salvation have I helped thee. That is why I'm telling you, constantly Christ is placed before as the dependent servant. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, whom I uphold. Chapter 49, God has helped me. Chapter 50, God will help me. He will help me. It is not his own strength. He is the servant that is sustained and upheld and helped by the Father. And even though he had that commandment from God to lay down his life and take it again, it says he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And it's the spirit of him that raised up the Lord Jesus dwells in you. And so keep these things in mind. And so while the Lord Jesus has all God's waves and billows coming over him, in verse 7, he is aware of this. He says, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore have I not been confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. It does not say that he would not experience shame. He said, I hid not my face from shame and sitting. But after he had experienced all the shame that man could heap upon him, and after he was smitten, smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. After all of this, he said, I know that I shall not be put to shame, for God will help me. The Lord God will help me. And he did. And it says this. It says that he is near that justifieth me. And so all of this promise of the Father, sustaining him in death and taking him through death, the Lord Jesus knew in advance. He said three times that the Lord would help him, would uphold him. And the Lord Jesus was he who was strengthened and upheld through his ordeal by the Lord God. And then, when others would condemn him, he says, he is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. He did not say that God did justify him. That came in the resurrection. It says, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. And so by the resurrection of the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ was justified, declared to be the Son of God in power by the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. And the Lord Jesus had known all of these things in advance. And so now the Father has spoken, the Son himself has spoken, and he has told us some of the precious secret things that went on in his heart that was long. Remember that. And pray. Our Father, we are thankful that you have seen fit to tell us these things about your Son. We marvel. We would certainly think that he deserves better than this. That being God manifest in the flesh, that he would use to his own advantage some of these divine powers that were his. But he himself has said, and thou hast told us, that this was not so. We thank you, our God, for him who was rich and became poor, for the one who was equally glorious with the Father, but that glory was left in heaven. And then the Father was appealed to restore the glory that he had with you before the world was. We thank you for all things that you have shown us concerning your Son. We thank you, Father, for this servant that thou hast set before our eyes. Receive our thanks in his name. Amen.